Before there was internet, yes, there was life. And, you know, you would get gifts at Christmas time, and my parents, I hope your parents taught you the same thing, and that is to say thank you. And since we didn't live near family, we said thank you through the mail, the old-fashioned way. And then I remember, at least in my own journey, that when the internet took off, then there became these websites with cards, greeting cards. And there were publishing software that you could make a card and you would send it in the mail, and then eventually you got to send those attached in an email as a file. And it was still a way for us to say thank you. How is our world today doing? What do you think? Do we still say thank you? Or has it decreased? Is the expectation of entitlements so bad that we just don't hear those words as often as we used to? We want to go back in time. Now, this is way before internet and way before you and I. The Old Testament reading for this morning reminds us of a time when Solomon was made king. He was a young fella when he became king, when David had said, "You will be my successor." And Solomon went up to a place of worship. The temple had not been built in Jerusalem at this time. And so there was another place that was considered holy. And there, the animal sacrifices and the gift offerings, the thank offerings, the burnt offerings, they would be offered to the Lord. And the Old Testament lesson is about that time when Solomon went to the Lord to say thank you for all that God has given him. And God said, "Ask for anything. What would you want from me?" If you had the opportunity to ask for anything, what would it be? Our list might be global, almost like a Miss Universe pageant, world peace. You know, or we might be, because of hardship in life, a cure for all cancer. We could think big. Well, Solomon wasn't thinking about cancer and wasn't thinking about world peace. He was thinking about God's people. And he asked God to give him wisdom, understanding, and so that he would be able to lead God's people in a way that pleased and honored God himself. And so his thank you to God in his life was to build the temple and to make a place of worship where thanksgiving and hope and praise and adoration could be given to God forever and ever. But we know that that temple didn't remain. It was destroyed one day. You get to the epistle lesson. Christ has come. Christmas is way over. Easter is over. Holy Week certainly passed. The cross and the resurrection has taken place, and Pentecost has also taken place. And Paul, now converted from his anti-Christianity and hatred of the way, as it was called, Paul writes, as he's given these words from God, this list. It's a marvelous list. It helps us put things in perspective. And I don't know if you ever have this happen to you. You ever go to the store and you didn't get your list? You didn't take your list? It's at the house. And you always forget something on the list. And you always add to the list that you didn't have on there, right? And then you get home and you realize what you forgot, and you realize what you bought, and you go, And sometimes you go back to the store. Sometimes you don't. Well, for us today, Paul makes this list. But imagine again, if you got to ask for anything, what would you ask for? There's a story about a high school student. He just turned 16. He just got his driver's license. And his dad came to him and said, "What would you like?" And of course, any 16-year-old would say, "A car." And so his dad, being in a wealthy status way beyond measure, bought his son the latest, greatest, hottest sports car that was on the market. And his son was all excited, and you can imagine, wanted to get all of his friends together. He wanted to drive this thing way beyond the speed limit, by the way. And he wanted to take this car everywhere. And then a month later, his dad came to him again, and he said, "Here's what I would like for you to do." And he gave him $1 million. He had the wealth to do this. And he said, "Now you can't spend this on toys. And you cannot spend this on partying and on your buddies. I want you to invest this so that it grows. Stocks, bonds, you know, you can ask questions, you can talk to people, you can do whatever you want. But the idea is, this is not to be wasted." And so this 16-year-old did exactly that. He talked to people. He went to stock advisors and financial advisors. And his dad knew plenty of them. And his dad could have served as one, but he wanted to try and do this on his own. And so he does that. And he tries to help and follow through on this gift from his dad. Can you imagine being such a child in a home with that much wealth and being given a gift with that much resource and potential and capabilities? And most of the time, we can't. Because for myself, it's just outside of my world to have that much wealth and be able to use it. This list is even greater than what the Father did for his Son. Because this is what your Heavenly Father does for you. And its value is beyond gold and silver, beyond diamonds and precious stones. Its value is eternal. It will not change. It will not rot. It will not decline. The stock market can do whatever it wants. The Dow Jones numbers can fluctuate. But this gift, these gifts, are the most precious of all. If you had a lot or very little for Christmas, or if you're so content that you didn't buy any Christmas gifts whatsoever for yourself, or even for, you know, your spouse, because that is not the focus of your life together, it is these gifts that still make the season the brightest ever. If you pull out your bulletin, you can look at the list. It's the second reading. And Paul starts off with, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So when is it that we stop being thankful? When is it that we our sense of awareness and our acknowledgement that we are blessed, when does that start to fade? It's when our focus is on the things of this world, of the things here and now. When it's the food that we want in our stomach, the riches that we want to taste, the toys that we want to play with, the, you know, the comforts that we want to have, that's when we start to realize we're just not as blessed or as rich as the next person. But according to this, you are the richest of all as God's people. The list includes every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The list includes that he chose you before creation took place. It includes that so that in Christ you are holy. It is a legal decree. You are justified. That is, the judge, the heavenly judge, has said you are holy. No longer are you declared guilty or defiled, but you are set apart It is also in Christ that you are considered blameless, for it is Christ who took away your sin, carrying it to the cross. Or as the Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. So that when God looks at you, he knows that you are blessed, and he is blessing you with this decree. And you are loved. Greater love has no man than he lays his life down for his friends. And I would add, he lays down his life even when we were enemies. When we didn't want God's word, when we didn't want to praise him, when we didn't want to go to church, when we didn't want to serve him, when our language offends him, when our thoughts are against his thoughts and our ways against his ways, God still loves us. The list includes the fact that all of this is done so that it is for our well-being, for our benefit. And as a result of that, there is this fruit of praise given to God because of that. Can you imagine how that 16-year-old talked about his father when he got the hottest, latest, greatest sports car, you know? And he certainly wasn't going to be bad-mouthing his dad after that one, at least for a week or two, you know? But here he gives thanks. And you and I have a phenomenal gift. And we have even less reason to be grumpy towards God because of all that he's doing for us. Paul continues, God has blessed us. And you go to the top of that next column about how God has blessed us. We have redemption through his blood, through the blood of Jesus Christ. God has blessed us with the forgiveness of our sins. You may think of a time in your life when you held on to sin and unrepentant. You were angry, you were hurt, you had offended, you had done something, and you were not willing to let that be exposed, and how that tormented you in ways of sleeplessness and stress and heart palpitations and grumpy and moody and irritable, and that was the good day. And then it gets worse from there. And here we find that God has blessed us with this forgiveness. When he says, come to me all you who are heavily laden and I will give you rest. He takes that burden from us and he helps us to rejoice. And if you've ever carried anything heavy for any distance and you set it down, all of a sudden your whole being is lighter. You physically haven't changed, by the way. You haven't lost weight, but it feels that way. And spiritually, that is what happens when we are forgiven. That weight is taken off of us. And so God has blessed us in Christ with wisdom and insight and knowledge of his will, all according to his purpose, the word of truth, and the gospel of salvation. It's a Christmas list. When you go to start that down that dark path of I don't have anything, or all my life is, you know, everything about my life is miserable, and I don't even know if I want to keep living, or I don't know if I can continue. This is a great place to be, Ephesians chapter 1. Because in the face of unemployment, in the face of bad bosses and tough work environments, in the face of assistant pastors, no, or senior pastors, right? Yeah. In the face of kids misbehaving and grandchildren making a whole lot of racket, and I just got hearing aids, and do you know how loud pots and pans are in the kitchen? Man, do you know how loud the air coming through the ductwork is? It's when days when you are overly sensitive. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. That your heart may be sensitive to the Lord. That your joy may be uplifted. And the things that you're holding on to may be set aside. That your vision is increased instead of tunnel visioned or narrowly focused or just up close. So that you know of the hope in the salvation that you have in Christ. And by the power of God's Spirit, by the power of the gospel, you can get through the day. And you know what? By the same power, it's the next day, and the next, and the next, and forever. In Jesus, Merry Christmas. Amen.